Welcome to the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health's podcast series on human trafficking. Our goal is to educate everyone who can target and stop human trafficking, which is defined as modern-day slavery that involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. Human trafficking occurs in every state, every city, every town, and in almost every industry. Rural areas can be particularly vulnerable to trafficking and a haven for traffickers. Listen to learn what actions rural communities can and are taking to prevent human trafficking and how to help victims get the support they need.
Thank you for joining us again for another podcast with the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health. I'm Cheryl Ebersole, and today I'm with Lisa Davis, the director of the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health, and Lynette Fetzer, the Quality Improvement Coordinator of Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health. And we are having a very exciting day here in State College, Pennsylvania at the Pennsylvania Office Rural Health Human Trafficking Conference. And I'd like you, Lisa, to lead off here and tell us a little bit about what all is happening here today.
Cheryl, thank you. And thank you so much for spending some time with us and also helping us get the word out about issues related to human trafficking in rural communities. I think that there's a general thought that human trafficking, whether it's labor trafficking or sexual exploitation, happens only in urban areas. And that is absolutely not the case. Rural communities are not immune to trafficking and exploitation. And it is our job as the State Office of Rural Health to bring awareness about the issues of human trafficking to rural healthcare facilities and to rural communities, and also to be able to provide the training necessary within rural hospitals, rural social service organizations, and other kinds of providers to be able to recognize the signs and symptoms of human trafficking, and to also have developed the partnerships and the connections that are needed to be able to get victims the help that they need. So that is what today's summit is all about. It's the very first summit that we've done, and I believe it's the first of its kind in the state.
That's wonderful. Lynette, can you share with us some of the presentations that have taken place?
Yes, and thank you, Cheryl, so much for being here today and helping us plant the seed and raising awareness to human trafficking. We are very fortunate to have a lot of expert presenters who are well-versed in human trafficking, from survivors of human trafficking to the legal people who help make the laws and get everything into place that we need to protect victims and to also help victims overcome the legal ramifications that may happen as a result of being a victim from human trafficking. And to hear the survivors speak and to hear all the wonderful work that we have lawyers and lobbyists working on, it's very empowering to know that we are making a difference in helping people in rural Pennsylvania with human trafficking. And like Lisa indicated, it does happen here in Pennsylvania, unfortunately.
And some of the other presentations, too, in addition to the ones that Lynette focused on, we have this whole legal component of it, which I think she did a great job summarizing. And we also have a way now to highlight all of the interagency work occurring at the federal level and also between the federal government and the state government. And we're spending the afternoon talking about how communities and healthcare facilities have developed training programs to address human trafficking and to really be able to not only train the community, but also to have a point person within the healthcare system that can be the sort of the go-to person for anyone who might be a potential victim.
So when you're talking about the community, that's pretty broad as far as truly your community, your neighbors, your friends, your family, but it's also in the workplace, it's in the healthcare providers, it's with the law enforcement, with the first emergency responders. Can you talk to about that a bit?
Well, Lynette has direct experience working in that field. I'll just say sort of in general and then turn things over to her, that I think the message that we have heard repeatedly today, whether it is from someone coming from it from the legal perspective or the state agency perspective or the service provider's perspective, is tell everybody, because everyone is part of the solution. So it's not just talking to someone at your church or talking to someone at your work. It is really talking to everybody you know. And one of the, I think, very good suggestions that someone had today was, for one day, put up on your Facebook page the human trafficking hotline number and see what kind of difference that might make. But Lynette has real actual on-the-ground experience.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so honored to work with you. And from a provider perspective and from working in the emergency room and as a counselor for CenterSafe, I can tell you that, unfortunately, this does happen here in Pennsylvania. And I think it's really important that we plant the seed for everyone. As Cheryl, as you mentioned, I think it's really important that we educate people. We need to be looking at when we have patients presenting into the emergency room. If you have a young woman who seems to be a victim of sexual assault, take the time and speak with her and try to help her and assist her in any way that we can. And I'm really pleased to let everyone know that we have a variety of toolkits that you can utilize in the emergency room to help you recognize a victim of human trafficking, whether it's through labor trafficking or sexual exploitation. It's really important that we recognize the red flags. And in addition to, if you're a high school teacher or an elementary teacher and you see a child who is coming to school, and one of the presenters talked to us today about the importance of being very observant, looking at the child. And if you see a child coming with manicured nails and they have jewelry and expensive clothing, but yet you know the family may not have the means to do that, pull that student aside and just have a conversation with them, a gentle conversation, and ask them how they're doing. It's really important, as all the speakers indicated today, to be observant of people that may be a victim. And I was so touched today by one of the young women who was sitting next to me. She told me a story about when she was at the at a local grocery store. She actually witnessed it firsthand, a person who was being bullied by an older person, and she went up to them and she walked this person to her car. She didn't even know her, but she was observant that this was not a normal situation, and she could see the fear in this young woman's eyes. Yet she took time to walk her to her car and got her out of the situation. So be observant, plant the seed, and really do what you can to help spread the word. And like Lisa said, put the human trafficking number on your Facebook page. I'm getting teared up because it really does really affect people, and we can help make a profound difference in people's lives by just helping them and getting them the resources they need to get out.
Some of the stories that were being told today are traumatic, and they affect not just that person who is trafficked, but their families and many other people. And something else that was interesting, and you both just had mentioned that it's definitely sexual trafficking, but it's also labor trafficking, which then can lead to many other things. And then, of course, you have the child abuse that may lead, which you touched on earlier, too. But can you talk about the labor trafficking a little bit? Especially here in rural Pennsylvania, there seems to be opportunities for that.
Well, I think that there are several industries where labor trafficking is most predominant. And what we were hearing today from one of the attorneys who specializes in labor issues was in the hospitality industry. and working in domestic positions, whether it is housekeeping or something along those lines, or childcare, and in agricultural production. So those, I think, are some of the major areas that we do see trafficking. And heard stories about laborers who had been brought over under specific kinds of conditions where they were promised jobs and wages, and none of those came to fruition. But yet they were expected to work very long hours with little or absolutely no pay, and were living in very horrendous situations, and had no other recourse because their documentation had been taken from them, and they didn't know anybody, and they were essentially completely isolated.
So they're intimidated then also, and they're told false truths that they can't leave, or they feel as though they can't trust other people.
And one of the things that we've heard repeatedly, whether it's sexual exploitation or labor exploitation, is the fear of the fear that the trafficker instills in the person who's being victimized, that they will tell them, if you do anything to try and save yourself or to bring attention to this situation, I'll kill your family, or I'll take your child, or, you know, some other sort of threat that the person, even if they might have been a very strong-minded person to begin with, no longer believes in their own strength. They believe in what the trafficker is telling them.
So, Lynette, from your experience, if I were, per se, someone who had been trafficked, who do I reach out to here in Central Pennsylvania? What should my first step be?
So, the wonderful resource that we do have in Center County is Center Safe. And that is a direct hotline to a counselor 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, where we can get you into instant contact with legal authorities or with medical professionals who can assist you if you've had any type of bodily injury. We can help you. We have advocates that, legal advocates that work with you. We can obtain emergency PFAs if the judge does believe that the person is in intimate danger. And we are very lucky that we have Center County, because we do have a variety of resources. So what I would encourage anyone that is experiencing an uncomfortable situation, if they think it's uncomfortable, but they're not sure where to go, I would say the first step is to reach out to someone that you can trust. And when I say reach out to someone you can trust, I would highly encourage the victim to reach out to medical professionals, a hotline such as Center Safe, because we can connect you with reliable and very trusting professionals who can assist you in the best way that they can. And, our hospital that we have right here in University Park also has resources. If you look on our Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health website, we have the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and we have the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. We have Truckers Against Trafficking, FBI and law enforcement. There is a variety of resources. And if you think that it doesn't happen here, in Pennsylvania alone, 127 cases were reported, making it one of the top 10 states of human trafficking, which really sends you a jolt, because, you know, people think, you know, we're in Happy Valley, this doesn't happen, but it does, unfortunately. But the good news is Happy Valley is filled with wonderful resources. We have Penn State University, the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health, Center Safe, Mount Nittany Medical Center. We have a lot of people who are here to help patients receive the best care that they can receive. Lisa, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, wondering what the next steps are. You know, it's a tremendous success today in planting a lot of seeds, as you're saying, and touching a lot of lives who have heard firsthand some stories, learned about resources, ideas on how to reach out to the community and start building those teams to do education and other things. Well, what does the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health do next?
That is a really good question, and I think that there are so many opportunities for us. Just over lunch today, we were talking about trying to do some sort of a forum in the central part of Pennsylvania, in the Harrisburg area. We've also talked about wanting to work across the Region 3 states of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and perhaps bring those states together. I also hear that there are individual counties that very much want to have training coordinated, and we could do that as well, trying to bring together those who would provide the best training and supports for those individual counties. We're continuing, with the help of your office, to really grow and expand the breadth and depth of information that is on our human trafficking website. And I see that this is really one of the big jumping off points for us in being able to really try and make a mark and raise awareness about rural human trafficking.
Well, it's been a pleasure being able to have both of you here. Your wealth of knowledge, the work that you're doing on behalf of many, many people is tremendous. You've already made a very positive impact on a lot of lives and planted a lot of seeds. Now, one of the things I heard today also was to recognize, rethink, and respond. And you're already doing that. So we hope that with this podcast, we'll be able to share those thoughts, this information with a lot more people. So we encourage everybody listening to go to the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health website, and we will be sharing more information on your website and also your social media and other marketing. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health's podcast on human trafficking. We invite you to join us in our efforts to combat human trafficking. Visit our website at PORH.psu.edu and go to the human trafficking page found under programs to learn more and find helpful resources.